We are back from our summer vacation, our 4th of July holiday, bringing you another episode of the Chicago Football Podcast. Kevin Fishbane here, 2 weeks away from training camp in Bourbonnais at beautiful Olivet Nazarene University, where I've been lucky the last 3 years. It hasn't been that hot. One of these years, it's going to be 95 degrees every day, and it's going to be miserable, but we're going to put up with it and bring you awesome Bears coverage from training camp. Apologies if the audio sounds a little off today. I'm actually doing this podcast remotely. My guys, Dan Mott, executive producer, John Solly, associate producer, are in studio. Funny story, my car's in the shop. I thought it was going to take 3 days. They gave me a call and said, hey, your car will be ready in 13 days. So, John Solly, that is why I'm not in studio with you guys.
What happened to your car that it is taking 13 days to get out of the shop? Look, I've had issues with cars before, but it's like 6 hours, maybe a day. This is almost 2 weeks for your car.
Yeah, there were just a couple different things, and I don't know if they're just going to – maybe I'll get there and there'll be a brand new car.
At this point, I think they're just building you a new car. What's the issue?
You know, there was some let's just say there was some driver-induced errors that caused some issues with the vehicle.
Yeah, let's be honest. You were playing Pokemon Go and driving, weren't you?
Yeah, I wish. That actually sounds better than I just totally botched my angle getting into my garage.
Is your garage okay too?
Yeah, I actually moved out of that place since. So if it's not okay, I got my security deposit back, so we're all good. So long story short, audio might be a little funky, but we wanted to bring you Chicago Football Podcast. No guest this week. We're going to do a mailbag in a minute. We will have guests next week leading into camp. Of course, follow all of our Bears content on Twitter at Bears_insider. I am at K Fishbane. John is at J Solly. Dan Mott is at Mott's Thoughts. Also, we're on Snapchat.
Darn right.
And at Bears_insider. I got to tell you, John, I'm a much better Snapchatter as Bears_insider than my personal Snapchat. I've actually been kind of enjoying putting together some of the stories for some of the folks out there. And I think it's going to be really fun to do in training camp as well. So go on your Snapchat and add Bears_insider.
I am so looking forward to your snaps at Bears_insider throughout training camp. And I think we may have a filter in store at some point.
Ooh, little tease
just,
there.
Just a tease.
You're quickly assimilating to the broadcast industry, John, with that tease. You're ready to go. So, and I'm ready to go. Let's get to the Chicago Football Podcast Bears mailbag. All right, we're in the dog days of summer, so it took a little prodding to get some questions out of you guys, but we got some good ones and a lot of defensive questions, John, starting with Bear Down Smitty. Wants to know, do the Bears have enough at defensive end? This is a position we haven't talked a lot about. You know, they signed Akeem Hicks, they re-signed Mitch Unrein, and they signed Jonathan Bullard. To me, looking at what they had last year, which was Jarvis Jenkins, Jeremiah Ratliff, obviously we know how that ended, and then kind of rotating some guys in, Hicks, Bullard, Unrein, with Ego Ferguson as a reserve, I think that's a huge upgrade. Now, it's still, I think, probably ranked pretty low among some of your 3-4 defensive fronts in terms of the defensive end spots. But I think Bullard, Unrein, Hicks for a top three is much better than what they had last year.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I guess the question is, do they have enough?
Yeah, and that's where we're going to learn in training camp. Who are going to be some of these young guys? You know, does Ego Ferguson step up after the injury last year? I thought he had some flashes. You know, Marquise Jackson is Malik Jackson's twin brother, who is a late addition to the roster. He'll be in training camp. That's kind of something to monitor. But they didn't really add a ton outside Bullard. It's a lot of got Cornelius Washington. I mean, this guy's been on the team actually since 2013, which is – pretty remarkable for this Bears defense to have somebody on the team for that long. And he's still around. He's got good size, but we haven't seen it from him, really. But I'm excited to watch Bullard. Hicks is so big and strong. And then Unrein made a lot more plays last year than I think people expected. And you don't need a ton after those three. And then, of course, Eddie Goldman's going to be the defensive lineman on the field most often. But this question was just defensive end. So do they have enough? I think the top three is fine. good, not great. And we'll learn more about the depth when we get to Bourbonnais. All right, our good friend of the Twitter mailbag, Ray Hollings, wants to know how much of a factor the front seven will have on the secondary, considering the pass rush abilities and the inside linebackers to cover the quarterback. John, I think let's start with the inside linebackers. I think people are going to realize having guys like Jarrell Freeman and Danny Trevathan to cover tight ends, which might take some of the pressure off your slot corner or your safety, is going to make a big difference in the secondary. Maybe part of the reason they didn't really add to the secondary because they're so excited about what those inside linebackers do helping the middle of that defense because there's so much youth at safety.
Totally agree. And I want to ask, when Pernell McPhee moves inside, which is something I think could happen under under Fangio, that McPhee on the inside I think kind of blows up the world, and I think that has to have a dramatic effect on the secondary in those situational spots, doesn't it?
I think it does, and I think that's the second half of this question, is when you put McPhee inside, you're going to have Leonard Floyd rushing off the edge. And they're hoping, expecting that speed and athleticism and length is going to make an impact early. I mean, think about it. What the Bears could have for a given play. You got McPhee down in the line. You got Leonard Floyd and Willie Young or Lamar Houston at the other outside linebacker spot. You have your two inside guys. Maybe you have Eddie Goldman or Akeem Hicks next to McPhee. And then you have your five defensive backs. That front is much better than what we saw on a week-in, week-out basis last year just because of what those inside backers can do, what Leonard Floyd could do against the passer. So, yeah, McPhee is also a huge linchpin in this in making sure that front seven, it's complementary football, which is a term I actually learned from Mark Trestman, but it is one that is used by many coaches, not just the former Bears head coach, and that's what the Bears are looking for on the back end, the front seven working hand-in-hand, making things easier for the secondary. Aren't you glad I brought up Mark Trestman, John?
No, I'm shuddering over here. Why do you have to bring that name up?
Because it's fun.
It's fun for you.
I don't have fun, John.
Sometimes you miss it. I don't find that moment where I'm
here's
missing
what I miss.
Mark Trestman.
I miss 2013 Monday's Mark Trestman when he would give us really, really long answers to questions about the game the previous day. And
that didn't make sense.
That's okay. I'll take because it's at least fun to parcel through it. And then I'll still take that. I miss that. That was still fun.
All because right, because he was interesting and John Fox is not.
When John Fox is on the record, no, he is not very interesting. let's move on to Jack Olin. Or it could be Jack Polin or Jack P. Olin. No, it's Jack Olin or Allen. I'm just going to go to the question.
Given him six different last names.
Yes. Pro Football Focus recently ranked the Bears front seven in the top 10, but the secondary near the bottom. As a defense at least a year away, I'm glad this question came, and this goes hand in hand with the previous question about the front and the back end working together. Pro Football Focus, I was kind of surprised how high they ranked the Bears front seven. I want to say it was ninth in the league. And I think part of that is, look, Trevathan and Freeman, one of the best inside linebacker combinations in the league. McPhee has established himself as a top 10 outside linebacker. Leonard and Willie Young and Lamar Houston led the team in sacks last year. You have a top 10 pick in Leonard Floyd. You have a nose tackle in Eddie Goldman, who I think is going to make a huge jump this year. And then you bring in Akeem Hicks. All those things, when I say it in that light, John, kind of makes it sound like, yeah, the Bears actually do have a pretty good front seven.
And then on the flip side of that, I feel like this is based more off of potential because you don't really know. Nobody knows what Leonard Floyd is as a pro yet, nor Jonathan Bullard. Eddie Goldman, yeah, he had a great rookie season, and everyone seems high on him for year number two, but he hasn't gone out and proven that yet. A lot of these guys have zero chemistry because they haven't played a down together on this defense, so I think that probably takes some time. So I think this is based more off of potential rather than production. I mean, obviously it is because some of these guys haven't even played together.
Someone's sipping the Hubbarker's Kool-Aid over there, tempering expectations, Sean. I like it.
Well, look, they could be. There's certainly the potential for them to finish in the top 10, but we haven't seen anything yet, so let's not start.
I think what we're looking at here is it's the Trevathan, Freeman, McPhee. You know what you're getting from those three. Now, can Willie Young and Lamar Houston be just as effective? Can Goldman actually make that jump? what's Hicks going to bring to the defense? Who's going to be that other starter, Unreiner, Bullard, Leonard Floyd, obviously all the questions, which brings us to the last question, which is about Leonard Floyd. We're going to get this a ton in the next month and a half before a season starts. What can we expect from Leonard Floyd this year? And look, I see a guy who has potential to get you 10 sacks. I really believe when you combine his athleticism to what Vic Fangio and John Fox can do in terms of putting him in position to make plays, he has the ability to get 10 sacks. He also has the ability to maybe only get 4 or 5 if it really takes him some time to acclimate to the NFL game, or if offensive linemen find a way to really, you know, take advantage of the fact that he's slender and is not going to put on a ton of weight. I mean, there is a big scale here on where Leonard Floyd is going to be. I mean, luckily for the Bears, they have depth at outside linebacker. They don't need Floyd to be an impact player from day one, but you don't trade up into the top 10 to draft a guy and don't at least hope for him to reach a certain ceiling. And I think that ceiling for Floyd year one is double-digit sacks. I just don't know if we can expect that from him, having never seen him in pads yet. We'll finally see him in pads on July 30th, the Saturday in Bourbonnais.
Yeah, normally I don't look forward to preseason games, but I'm looking forward to it purely for Leonard Floyd. I really do want to get a look at him in action, in pads, against another NFL team doing live football. Because, you know, you guys are going to go down to Bourbonnais. I think that, you know, the athleticism is off the charts with Leonard Floyd. I think the potential is there. I'm going to take all of it with a grain of salt until I see even a couple of preseason snaps, and then, you know, go forward a couple of months into the season.
John, you're welcome to come to Bourbonnais with us.
Well, I'm just going to follow you on Snapchat.
That's true. You'll feel like you're there.
You don't have to go to Bourbonnais. You can just follow us on Snapchat.
I am going to have to make sure I rotate Snapchat back to my personal Snapchat when we go to TJ Donlin's, the local watering hole, at night. I'm not sure. Actually, you know what?
You know Bears what? No, Bears fans want to see reporters try and drink each other under the table.
Well, it's not – I'm going to give you some bad news, John. Unfortunately, nights at TJ Donlin's for the writers are generally not like that. But there's a lot of bags being played. And any Bears fan who's been to TJ Donlin's knows kind of the history of friend of the program, Bob Laguerre, is a sensational bags player. So maybe we can get some of that. Some Snapchats of some bags late night in Bourbonnais.
So, Kevin, in your Bears beat writer bags power rankings, you've got Bob Laguerre 1. What's the rest of it? Who do I not want to take out in bags that covers the Bears?
Here's the interesting thing is Larry Mayers, who writes for ChicagoBears.com, is always Bob's partner. And I think Larry's very good, but that team is known more for what Bob brings to the table. So it's hard to figure out where Larry ranks. Adam Johns is also right up there behind Bob and Larry. I'll throw Adam Hogue into the mix too. What's interesting is Mark Potash from the Sun-Times. He's a very good bowler. He's got that bowling form, which I try to bring to my bags. I'm not very good. he's not bad at it. So, you know, I actually sat out most of the bags games this past summer. I just wanted to kind of rest the arm.
You got to ice up.
Yeah, you know, and this year I was coaching baseball. I was throwing a lot more BP than usual, so it's going to take a little more time for my arm to get into bag shape. But that's some of the things you can look forward to if you come to Bourbonnais. So we'll find out in training camp in just a couple of weeks. You know, John, a lot of those questions were about the defense. We didn't get any. I think people have fewer. I think fans have fewer questions about the offense than observers of the team do. And we're going to get to some of those questions of the offense when we talk Bear Necessities. But first, let's talk Loot Crate. Our sponsor, LootCrate.com, a monthly subscription box service for you geeks, nerds, comic book lovers alike. Every month, you get a mystery box full of collectibles, apparel, memorabilia. There is a t-shirt in every box, every crate, I should say. And you can get $3 off your first crate if you use our promo code SHAW, S-H-A-W. Go to lootcrate.com/SHAW. You got a few days left for the July crate, which is a futuristic-themed crate. You're talking Rick and Morty, Futurama, Star Trek, and Mega Man. You'll get a t-shirt and a pin in that crate. Use that promo code SHAW. Go to lootcrate.com/SHAW, S-H-A-W. Get $3 off that first crate, 6 to 8 items of licensed gear. And you know, got a $45 value in those crates. We talked about Futurama a little bit last week. John and Dan, I'm not sure what kind of Mega Man you guys are, Mega Man men, But for me, Mega Man, I mean, that's like the video game of the youth right there. And, you know, so that I'm kind of curious what Loot Crate item is going to be Mega Man themed this month.
So I don't know if you saw this, but this morning it's a trending topic that
I did see this.
The Nintendo is coming out with a mini version of its system, the old classic Nintendo, and Mega Man 2, which was the best Mega Man, is going to be on it, along with like 29 other games. Tecmo Bowl, not Tecmo Super Bowl.
Okay. All right. Well, it's interesting. We're going to go back in the past to bring back Mega Man, which is a futuristic show or video game, which is also themed in the futuristic theme July Crate, which you have 4 more days to get. Lootcrate.com/Shaw. I got to imagine August Crate is going to have Pokemon involved.
Yeah, like, if they're smart. If Loot Crate is smart, it's just all Pokemon.
Dan, Matt, you've been playing, haven't you?
No.
You haven't been?
I'm not going to rip on anybody that is playing. But, Kevin, I'm a busy guy here. You know this.
You are.
It looks very interesting. It looks fun. And I've seen a lot of people that are playing it.
Walk off a cliff or walk into a pond. Find yourself on CNN with the headline, you know, person using Pokemon Go, blah, 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 blah.
If I get an opportunity, I might put it on my phone and play it. But I'm not bashing on anybody that is playing it because it looks very interesting.
Kyle Long, friend of the program, if you follow him on Twitter, he's been playing a little bit. We'll see if it's still a big thing in training camp, and we'll see lots of pictures of like people finding, you know, Charizards out on the field next to Jay Cutler or something.
Oh my God, I can't wait for that. I hope this is still a thing just for that reason. Yeah.
That's a Pokemon, right? Charizard?
Kevin,
I haven't played in 15 years. It was on my Game Boy.
What's the over-under of how many fans actually walk out onto the field trying to catch Pokemon?
That would be fun. We'll see if that's an August crate. Again, lootcrate.com/Shaw. Get your July crate. All right, John, we got a lot of bare necessities to catch up on because we missed last week's show for vacation. So we're going to go 15 through 7 here. If you listen to this on Thursday, which is the day we taped, you get a sneak peek on who 7 is. We don't unleash it on the website until Friday. And I'm also going to start giving sneak peeks on the Snapchat each day. Maybe in the morning, if you're a Snapchat follower, you'll see who is next up on the list before the story posts at noon. 15, Jarrell Freeman, who is ranked a lot lower than Danny Trevathan. And it's interesting, John, they're similar players in terms of obviously their position and what they bring, the instincts, the production. Jarrell Freeman's got a lot more splash plays on his resume. But he's also older, and certainly Trevathan got a lot more money, twice as much guaranteed money. So, you know, they're counting more on Trevathan. But Freeman, you can't discount his importance, especially because he's calling out the plays in the defense. So I could have put Freeman actually even a little higher than 15th, I think.
You know, I was actually comfortable with him at 15. I think his importance is well known, but like you said, Trevathan, I think, is going to be the guy, even though Freeman is the one calling out the plays.
Right. So that's, you know, actually, by the way, Arthur Arkish called me out a little bit on CLTV Sports Feed as with regards to this list. He and I had a little back and forth on Hronos Grisu, who he thought should have been ranked higher. I was happy with him at 18. And on the show, he went ahead and said, you know, if you got a problem with the list, go after Kevin Fishbane. And listeners of the podcast know, if you have an issue with the list, go after John Solly, at J Solly.
No, at K Fishbane is where you should go for this.
Number 14, Zach Miller. This is where we're talking about offense, questions on offense. Can Zach Miller be that number one tight end? Now, Martellus Bennett was in the top 10, of course, on this list last year. We knew we were getting from Bennett, a Pro Bowler. Miller, we've seen it. We know he can be a good receiver. Can he be an all-around number one tight end and stay healthy? He's 14th. 13th, Akeem Hicks. We already talked about him. You know, the top-ranked defensive end on this list, and, you know, just strong. I mean, that strength at the line to be able to occupy a couple defenders is going to be great. Number 12, John, is going to be the guy who there's going to be so many stories written about him in Bourbonnais. We're going to do our best to try to write different stories about him in Bourbonnais. Kevin White, number 12, around where he was last year, actually, and then, of course, he didn't even practice. What do you think about Kevin White, number 12, and all the attention that's going to come when he puts the pads on at Olivet Nazarene?
So I actually want to go back and to number 14, Zach Miller, and kind of put my fantasy football hat on for a second.
Go for it.
Most of Miller's production, his big games, there was obviously no Kevin White. Alshon was hurt, and there were some other injuries going on. So I feel like Miller is still quite important to the team, obviously, with Marty Bennett gone. But I feel like his numbers, don't be surprised if they are level or lower compared to last year. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would say so, because I think we're going to get to – I mean, we're talking about Kevin White, obviously. Eddie Royal was not in this list, and that was something I kind of went back and forth on. Eddie Royal was really good last spring and summer before he started battling injuries. People forget about Eddie Royal and what he can do to the middle of a defense if he's healthy. He's only 30. He's the oldest wide receiver, but that's another guy that could become a bigger target for Jay Cutler, more so than Zach Miller, who might just, you know, look, if all three of those wide receivers stay healthy, Miller is your number four option. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to certainly impact his production.
I'm glad you agreed with me on that then. It's not a totally hot take on Zach Miller. But going back to Kevin White, yeah, thoroughly intrigued and very excited to read your different stories from Bourbonnais as opposed to everyone else's stories from Bourbonnais on what Kevin White can and will bring to the table with the Bears, because everyone's been waiting now for more than a year to see exactly what he has. And you've heard his teammates talk him up that, you know, he's the most athletic guy in the field. He's amazing. You know, just like Leonard Floyd, let's see it now.
Yeah, and so he was actually number 11 last year. So without even playing, he
moved him down a spot.
Yeah. Martellus Bennett, I mentioned, he was number 10 last year. Miller's 14. Last year, Matt Forte, for obvious reasons, was number 2. His heir apparent, Jeremy Langford, is number 11. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that kind of drop-off there, one of which we don't really know. We're expecting Langford to be the number one. When is Jordan Howard going to cut into his carries? Is Kadeem Carey going to cut into those carries? I think Langford's receiving ability, his experience, his pass protection still puts him in front of those two. But I couldn't put him in the top 10 because we just don't know how much of a bell cow he'll be. And John, looking at it from a fantasy perspective, I think some people are excited about Jeremy Langford from a fantasy perspective. I would pump the brakes a little bit, at least until we get into the preseason, to see if he really puts a stranglehold on that number one running back role.
Yeah, I think in this offense, if it works as John Fox wants it to work, number one running back means a lot different than it did last year with Matt Forte and in previous years, obviously. So I think, yeah, pump the brakes on Langford. I think that he enters camp as the clear number one, but it's his job to lose rather than his job is solid at number one.
Right. So number 10, Kyle Fuller, who last year was actually number 7. Now, last year at this time, Kyle Fuller was the number one corner, you know, a top pick returning. We knew everything about him. Tracy Porter wasn't on the list. But now Tracy Porter's your number one guy. Kyle Fuller is much more in that you need to continue to, you know, the ascension we saw late last season when he started to improve, continue into year 3. So he's number 10. A lot of pressure on Fuller this year. It's important to remember he is not a draft pick of Ryan Pace's. Number 9, Charles Leno. This is a clear case, John, of position overrating talent. Charles Leno is not the 9th best player on the Bears, but playing left tackle, having the confidence of the staff to be the starting left tackle, and maybe more importantly, I tried to factor in how replaceable a player is. They're really in trouble if they have to replace Charles Leno, whether it be for injury or skill, because, you know, are they going to mess with Kyle Long again? Nick Becton is the backup right now, who's only appeared in 6 NFL games in his career. So they're really counting on Leno to be that guy left tackle. So I think even though we don't know if he's talented enough to be in the top 10, I think that's where you kind of give some little extra weight to his position to give him the number 9 spot.
Does Charles Leno this year become a bit of a referendum on Ryan Pace and John Fox's ability to scout talent and develop it, whether that's fair or not?
Yeah, because are you saying because they haven't been able to find another option?
Right. Yeah, and they've been so vocal in their support of Charles Leno that they think he is the guy.
Well, the other side of the coin on that could be that they found something with Charles Leno that the previous regime didn't necessarily – maybe they saw it but didn't think it would come to fruition this soon. I mean, nobody thought Charles Leno would take over for Jermon Bushrod and keep the job. last year.
True.
So maybe they're seeing something that we didn't see, that the other regime didn't see. And yeah, I mean, if this works out, then they look very, very smart for that. So, I mean, he's a key player. And you know, when I talk about Grassou being lower on this list, they have options at center. And, you know, they can move Whitehair there. They can play Ted Larson there. You know, if Grassou struggles, and I think obviously left tackle is a more important position for this offense. Okay, number eight is Tracy Porter, who was not on the list last year and ended up being maybe the most important defensive player last season. Comes back on a three-year deal. His first long-term contract, I think, since he joined the NFL. Stayed healthy for the last, you know, for the 13 games, 14 games he played last year, was key in Thanksgiving. Snapchat followers at Bears_Insider, you'll see I posted the clip of his interception in Green Bay. Struggled a bit down the stretch, but John, he's still probably your most reliable player in the secondary.
Yeah, and now the question is, can he do it again? Can he stay healthy? Can he stay productive? And I don't know the answer to that, especially on the health aspect of it. But those are the main questions that I think everybody has on Tracy Porter going forward.
Bryce Callahan did not make the list. He was one of the ones just off the list. But, you know, he's going to be your number. He's going to be your slot corner most likely when the season begins, which is an important position in this defense. Number seven, let's wrap things up here. Sneak preview, if you're listening to this on Thursday, it's going to be on the website tomorrow on Friday. Eddie Goldman, number seven. Last year, Eddie Goldman was 20. So, I mean, talk about that jump. And they're expecting that kind of jump from him. He played really well last year, and he got better as the season went along. He showed way more of an ability to get to the quarterback as a rookie than he did in his time at Florida State. And they're expecting big things from him in this defense, such an important spot in Vic Fangio's 3-4. I think seven, very fair. And if he's good enough, remember last year we had Jeremiah Ratliff number three. If Eddie Goldman continues to ascend, that's the range. That's the ceiling for him for next year's rankings.
So this might be an unfair question, but let's say Golden makes the jump that most people expect out of him. What do those numbers look like as far as sacks, tackles for loss? What's a reasonable expectation for Eddie Golden?
That's a great unfair question, John.
I tried.
Look, he had 4.5 sacks last season, which I think that's your ceiling. I mean, if you can get 4 to 5 sacks out of your nose tackle, you're doing great. You know, it's 6 quarterback hits. I think they'll take those numbers any day of the week because they're expecting more impact plays from a Nakeem Hicks, Jonathan Bullard, the outside guys. So, you know, the production is not going to be seen in the stat line because you're just going to want to make him make stuffs. You want to see him make tackles of the ball carrier at the line, tackles for loss if he can. But they're not going to see number jumpers jump off the sheets here. I mean, what he did last year against the quarterback, I think, is fine for his position. Now you'd like to see him make more plays. I mean, there are nose tackles out there that can get 50 or 60 tackles if they're good enough. And let's see if he can maybe find himself in that realm. Was that a fair answer to your unfair question?
Yes, I think that was well handled.
So next week on the show, we will go 6 through 1. We'll go ahead and give you number one next week. I think everyone knows who the most important pair is. I will tell you this. This list from last year, Matt Forte is number 2, gone. Jeremiah Ratliff, 3, gone. Antrell Roll, number 8, gone. Bushrod was 9, gone. Bennett, 10, gone. Christian Jones was 12. He's fighting for a roster spot. Tim Jennings, 13, gone. Jared Allen, 14, gone. Jarvis Jenkins, 15, gone. Jordan Mills, 16, gone. Ryan Mundy, 18, sayonara, and Mason Foster, 19, gone. So
Kevin, I don't think you had a great list last year.
It's amazing I still have a job, to be clear about this. That really stunned me. And it showed you also how much this coaching staff is going to hold guys accountable. And they're not, you know, they're going to want guys who, you know, they're not afraid to bench you, to trade you, to cut you. But it's really interesting what happened in training camp last year compared to what we thought was going to happen last June and July when we made this list. Okay, so we got 6 through 1 coming next week. You can guess, you know who number one is. You can guess
Brian Hoyer.
You can guess that Alshon Jeffery, Kyle Long, Pernell McPhee, and Dane Trevathan are going to be helping fill out that list. You can find out what the order of it is when you go to profootballweekly.com/Bears. There's actually another player I didn't name who's going to come in at number six, who's going to be an interesting one.
David Fales.
Guys, not David Fales, John. Damn. Nor is it Connor Shaw, the newest Bears quarterback, because of a Saints clerical error.
How funny was that? The Saints are going to pick up Connor Shaw, and all they need to do is email the personnel office, and instead they email the entire league. Hey, we're going to pick up Connor Shaw. And kudos to the Bears staff and Ryan Pace for seeing that and going, well, we kind of want Connor Shaw, so we're going to jump ahead of you.
Exactly. And Connor Shaw was a quarterback for Alshon Jeffrey for a year at South Carolina. He played for Dow Loggins in Cleveland, so there's some connections there. And we'll see what that does to the quarterback, the battle to be the number three quarterback who might not even make the final roster. Very exciting stuff. All right. One quick news thing. So we haven't really talked about Alshon Jeffrey and the franchise tag. We're taping this on Thursday. All signs point to, come 3 p.m. Central on Friday, Alshon Jeffrey will be playing the season on the franchise tag. Don't need to repeat what we've said on the show. It's just been expected. We've kind of seen this for a while now, especially when he missed OTAs. The Bears just need to see him healthy for a year. And look, if you're Alshon Jeffrey, as much as you probably would want the extra guaranteed money, the $15 million he's getting or $14 million is pretty darn good. And if he puts up a big year, he can get that $50 million guaranteed next offseason. Any thoughts on that, John?
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty much what we all expected. You know, we've heard rumblings that the Bears aren't entirely thrilled that Alshon wasn't around at OTAs, which, you know, it's understandable. But yeah, I've got no issue with how this is progressing.
So also on our website, we started our training camp position previews this week. We've got quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends up. Friday will be offensive line. We'll go into the defense next week. It's a position by position look, kind of give you three questions that we're trying to answer at all of those spots. So go check those out at profootballweekly.com/Bears. We'll also post little highlights and pictures of them on our Snapchat, which is now live, Bears_insider on Snapchat. Guys, before we close up shop, Bachelorette. Got the Bachelorette update.
And there's an NFL tie-in this week.
Jordan Rodgers talked about how he's not close with Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. So that was a thing. It's going to continue to be a thing next week. They go do the hometown visits. They're going to be with Aaron or the Rodgers family. Aaron will not be there. So we'll learn a little bit more about maybe their fractured bond. And, you know, maybe JoJo's not that excited about Jordan Rodgers anymore because she might not get to hang out with Olivia Munn and Aaron Rodgers, which she might have been hoping for.
Yeah, is she just going to be completely disappointed and dump him after that?
Look, I'm not going to call JoJo a jersey chaser or anything, but, you know, Jordan stuck around for a while, and the look on her face when he said that he wasn't close with Aaron, you know, she was a little surprised.
More importantly, I think this cost the Packers at least three victories this year.
Oh, I mean, it's a easily, huge distraction. Yeah. Huge distraction. First day Aaron Rodgers is at Green Bay Packers camp. Those questions better be coming high and hard, right at, you know, chin music questions about Jordan Rodgers and the Bachelorette and JoJo, whatnot. My guy who was my favorite guy is James Taylor, got booted last
week.
Wait,
the James Taylor?
He was close. He does play
It's a weird show.
It's a very weird show. I don't know why I'm still watching it. But now there's football involved, so I can chalk it off as a work thing, right?
Yeah. This is on your hourly sheet, Bachelorette. Right.
And obviously the most important update, no, Jordan Rodgers still, it has not been brought up about the time that as Vanderbilt quarterback, he lost to the Northwestern Wildcats. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Has not been brought up yet. But I'm sure you guys will be very excited next week. We'll give you another Bachelorette update because that's what I'm here for. And we're going to have a guest next week. So you're not going to have to deal with John and I talking the whole time. So that's exciting for everyone involved, I assume. John, unless you want to just do another mailbag.
No, I'm pretty sure people hate the sound of my voice. So it's totally fine by me.
Well, I love the sound of my voice, and that's all that matters for this podcast in which I am the host. So with that, thank you for listening to the Chicago Football Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. Write a little review in there. Tell us what you think of our voices and of our Bachelorette updates. Go follow our Bare Necessities countdown and training camp previews on our Chicago football page at profootballweekly.com/bears. Follow all of our content at Bears_insider. And go check out the new Snapchat feed, also Bears_insider. Thank you to all of you who asked questions for our Twitter mailbag. We appreciate it. We'll have a guest next week. Big thank you to our sponsor, Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/Shaw. S-H-A-W. Get $3 off your first crate. For my executive producer, Dan Mott, and my associate producer, John Solly, I'm Kevin Fishbane. We got training camp 2 weeks away. More Bears talk next week.
Shaw Media Podcast Network has a lot of really great sports podcasts, but are you more than just a sports fan?
You need to be listening to The Unprintable Podcast, which is a pop culture podcast with voices from journalists like myself, Nicole Franz.
And me, Jason Frummer.
As we discuss TV, movies, and of course, Jason's favorite subject,
music.
We'll also have some arts coverage, and you can catch special guests and exclusive interviews.
It's all right here on Unprintable. You can find us in the Shaw Media Podcast Network, available on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Hi, everyone. This is Hub Arkish, executive editor of Pro Football Weekly, and I'm here to let you know that Pro Football Weekly is back. To celebrate, we're giving away a collector's edition hoodie a day for the next 60 days. Just go to profootballweekly.com/hoodie, enter your email, and if you've won, we'll email you right back. While you're there, check out the site. You want an insider's guide to the NFL? Go to profootballweekly.com for all the news and analysis you won't find anywhere else. Pro Football Weekly, the best coverage in the NFL since 1967.